I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of Scaredy Boys Chasers, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss movies to watch after horror movies to help chase away the fear and let your gentle soul sleep soundly. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Treasure Planet. Treasure Planet is a 2002 animated science fiction action adventure film based on the novel Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson. The story follows restless teen Jim Hawkins on a fantastic journey across the universe as cabin boy aboard a majestic space galleon. Befriended by the ship's charismatic cyborg cook, Jim blossoms under his guidance and shows the makings of a fine shipmate as he and the alien crew battle a supernova, a black hole, and a ferocious space storm. But even greater dangers lie ahead when Jim discovers that his trusted friend Silver is actually a scheming pirate with a mutiny on his mind. Sean.
Boys. Yes. Listeners. I have a Paddington doll attached to the end of my microphone and I'm staring him in the face right now. And it's still not the best thing that has happened today. We watched Treasure Fucking Planet and it is the biggest five stars of all time.
It is. I'll tell you what, Sean.
Yep.
Everyone's all like, oh, I love my favorite Disney movies, Little Mermaid. I fucking love The Lion King. I love Aladdin.
Yep.
You're all a bunch of fucking idiots. It's Treasure Planet.
Disney, like, Treasure Planet makes every other thing that Disney have ever made look like the shit pipe in Shawshank Redemption. Honestly. And I love it. I love Hercules. I love Moana. I fucking love The Lion King. Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. Name it. I love it. Treasure Planet. Fucking hell. I didn't discover this when I was a kid.
Oh.
I only discovered it last year during pandemic times. I thought, what's this? Hang on. Isn't that Atlantis? Wait, no. There's a different movie. It's called Treasure Planet. What the fuck? And I watched it and I gave it 4.5 stars on Letterboxd. And I knew as soon as I hit post, I was like, you fucked up, you stupid fuckwit. That is a 5-star film.
It's incredible. It's amazing that it doesn't get... Like, I get that it sort of came out in that weird time where, like, we were talking about just before about how Disney released, like, these movies that had no songs in them that were a bit out there, or movies that did have songs in them that were a bit darker, like a Tarzan, etc. And this just kind of comes along, and it has so many incredible just design things. They're starting to use CGI in the movie. Look, they don't nail it completely, but
sure.
But in 2002, that would have been fucking huge. Oh,
phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, I still watch it. I'm just a simple man. I watch it and I go, fuck technology. How do you do it? How do you do it? You mentioned Tarzan, so I just want to quickly say, that's a movie that can climb on my chest and stab me. That movie fucking rules.
That movie could Jessica Chastain you.
Oh, mate. Yeah, it can Crimson Peak the shit out of me. That period of Disney is awesome, really. Is it Tarzan, Atlantis, Hercules fits in that time?
Just.
Does it?
Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
These are all... And Treasure Planet.
Lilo and Stitch.
Leon Stitch, these are all classics that when people talk about Disney, like I'm pretty sure most people go for like Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, which are fucking great.
Well, that's the thing. I think if you look at Disney, people go that golden era of Disney where it's like Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Aladdin, classic songs.
Yeah.
They're like what you're big for, right? Let's be real.
Yeah.
But these like weird sleeper hits that came later, like I still just watching it before, there are so many things in Treasure Planet that it's like, fucking people would love this shit. This is basically what Disney should have done with any of their Star Wars movies.
Right.
It's so inventive. It's pirates in space. There is a man who, an evil man who is a spider. There is a pile of goo that shapeshifts.
That fucking dog. Oh. What's his name again?
Mr. Scroop.
It's not even a fucking name that you remember. I just hate it. It's burned in my brain.
It's powerful.
He looks great. The design is off its head. The imagination, it's incredible. I tip my hat to Disney.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It really is. And before we just lose our load over how good this movie was, I want to talk
too
about... It is way too late. You're glowing. I want to talk about...
What's he glowing like, Damon? Is he glowing like a soul of fire?
Oh, Tom, don't quote the fucking movie and rip my heart out.
I want to talk about why it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
In that it's character-based. It has complex characters for a Disney film. It's so curious to say, like, yeah, this is a sleeper sort of gem in the mix.
Yeah.
Because it didn't do well. Box office, didn't do well compared to other Disney films. Still obviously made a profit. It's fucking Disney.
There's no songs. It's kind of a bit weird. It's based on... People are like, oh, yeah, Treasure Island. Yeah, we've seen the Muppet version of that, which is also excellent. You should check that out.
Yeah. Everyone get a tattoo, please.
Please. it's a bit of a weird choice. And when I guess you look at it or even the trailer, there's no princess. There's no songs.
Mm.
It's kind of weird space movie.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a movie ahead of its time. This is a Pixar movie in waiting. This is what Pixar and what Disney 3D animation studios is now, in that they're investing in stories that is so far beyond a princess. And like, their princess stories are still great today, but things like Zootopia and all the Pixar stories where they dive deep into story and dive deep into character and give you something so much more than what you need or thought you wanted.
Yeah.
And you come out a better person because of it. So this movie, in my mind, was just ahead of its time.
Yeah. You know how there's this thing where, like, I don't know, on one of them young people's social medias, like a TikTok, where people get in like a, fuck, this band or book from like 1998 fucking slaps. And it's like, yeah, it did when I was a kid too. I feel like we need the next generation to get on Treasure Planet.
Get behind Treasure Planet.
We need to push, fuck off all these other live action reboots.
Right.
Not a live action reboot. Nah. Just re-release it. It in the cinemas. Get it the $1 billion it deserves.
Release it into my veins. I'll take it. I'm going to get off this recording. I'm going to get on the internet. I'm going to buy a poster. I'm going to put it in a frame. I'm going to hang it on my wall. Love it.
You don't do that. I'm going to...
Mate, you can...
I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I'll do it. Don't worry. I'm going to fucking do it.
There's a mad gleam in your eye.
I'll do it right now.
Sean Carney is about to explode like a supernova right now. Oh, that is fact.
We watched this movie together. We finished watching. And Sean, you have then spent the next 10 minutes just pacing the room.
Yeah.
Full of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't record quick enough.
No.
Where I am now, imagine where I was back then.
So this movie very almost didn't exist for a very long time. John Musker and Ron Clements, who wrote and directed it.
Legends.
Have been pitching this movie to Disney since 1985.
Fucking hell.
Far out.
So during production on The Black Cauldron, which they made in 1985, they were pitching it. But they're going to end up getting assigned to Basil the Great Mouse Detective in 1986. Then, after directing The Little Mermaid, they tried again, but they got assigned to direct Aladdin in 1992.
Like, I'm sorry. These guys have... Oh, we couldn't get our Treasure Planet movie up. We'll direct The Little Mermaid and then Aladdin, I guess.
They directed Hercules too, didn't they?
I'm just about to get to that. So then they directed Hercules in 1997, and that's when they put their foot down, and they said, we will only direct this movie if we get to be allowed to make Treasure Planet right after it.
Yeah, boy.
And look, it took them a long time. It was a long journey. There are three men in this room right now who are very grateful for that journey.
I want to thank those men for their dedication.
You should. I will.
Fuck, you know,
I'm making a lot of promises and I'm going to keep every single one of them.
I'm excited for you to get a letter back from Ron Clements that's just like, are you a fully grown adult man?
I'll send you a picture of me and Paddington.
Right. Can you make that promise to Paddington right now? That way I know.
I'm giving him a hard stare. I'll fucking do it, mate.
Oh, shit, he's going to do it.
Oh, fucking do it.
Shit.
Yeah, I will.
All right, let me get to our first question, which is, did it help calm our cowardly hearts?
Yeah.
I will say this, though.
I'll never be scared again.
You will. Don't be.
I promise that, too.
Sean, can I put something
else? Reel me back in, boys. Help me. Fuck.
If you watched this movie before watching Midsommar, and then I promised you could watch it again after watching Midsommar.
Midsommar shit schmummer.
Oh!
Oh, no.
Give me Hereditary.
Sean. Okay, Sean, dial it down. Dial it down.
Woo! I'll watch Woman in Black for 24 hours straight. Nah, please, reel me in.
I don't know how. I want to. I don't know how.
We can't help you, mate. Jim didn't tie your line tight enough. Scripps come along and cut you loose.
Yeah, he's a cheeky fucker, isn't he? Nah, all right, settle down. Boys, please, settle down.
All right, so yes, it did help calm our cowardly hearts. Obviously, we are elated. We are over the moon. We've actually been... We spent a week out by the beach on a retreat, and we've been watching horror movies all week.
Yep.
That is a fact. We've literally watched them every day, multiple horror movies every day for a week.
Yep.
And now we've watched Treasure Planet, and it has been the ultimate chaser to a week of horror.
It really has. It's been the perfect palate cleanser because, like, there's just... You can find something to latch onto in it. No, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I love the story of Treasure Island, so I can latch onto that, but it's also the character designs are so fascinating and interesting. The aliens and creatures are so cool. The main characters are unreal. You've got Emma Thompson rattling off the fucking most beautifully worded insults known to man, and giving me quite possibly the most confusing flutters in my chest because she's an anthropomorphic cat alien woman, and I love her. And I don't know how to deal with that.
Yep.
And I think I need to go for a long, long walk along the beach just collecting my thoughts. And then we'll come back, propose to that cat.
No shame in this circle, mate. Emma Thompson can do no wrong.
It's like it's incredible. The sheer joy... I think that's the thing. It's like an adventure movie that just captures your imagination and your adventures. I think if you boil it down, it is literally the core of what Disney do, I guess. They take you on this magical journey and they give you characters that you care about, and it's just so fucking wonderful. Like, it's just every element of it is just so fucking good.
Right. Well, we got to talk about the relationship between Jim Hawkins
and John Silver. Long John Silver, but they just call him John Silver. Johnny S.
Mm-hmm. Carney, do you want to talk to this? Because basically this is your catnip. This is
big time.
This is distant father. Come good.
It's taught me everything I will ever need to know about fatherhood. It's changed my life forever. I actually mean that seriously.
I know you do.
No, just like if I have kids, fucking hell, I'll be saying to them, I'll be telling them they can rattle the stars.
Oh,
it's changed me forever. Tom, what's the other line? The other one's even more beautiful.
Do you want me to read it to you, Sean?
You find that line, you read it to me, and I will just whimper.
So the other line, and this is the line that's great, and I think it's... This little, I'm going to read the whole speech out, but it's basically the whole thing that I love, and I think I love it about Treasure Island, but particularly this version of Treasure Island does it beautifully well, is you basically, I think that the thing that makes it great is unlike other Disney films, you kind of have two heroes, and they give them equal time and equal weight. You get a little bit more backstory with Jim because he is our protagonist.
Sure.
But you also get to chart the journey of John Silver from grizzled pirate who cares about no one and nothing but treasure to a man who realizes that there's more than all the sacrifices that he's made chasing this treasure don't matter because he's met this young man and he's like, oh, that's what it's about. It's about having a friend. It's about having someone who believes in you, who cares you and who loves you. And that's the true treasure is the friends we made along the way. And that's literally the plot of the film.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous.
It's
the dads, incredible. The dads we made along the way.
So the line, Sean, is, so Jim Hawkins is a bit flat. And at this point, Silver's kind of... They have a fucking great montage in this where they develop their relationship beautifully to a very emo early 2000s pop rock song.
Yeah, I'll listen to it 100 times tonight.
Cracker of
a hit. It's a ripper. Yeah. But the thing that's great is you get basically Jim's relationship developing with John and John realizing, oh no. And there's a great beat just at the end of this where Jim is basically being blamed for a murder. And John knows it wasn't him because
that cheeky fucking scorpion.
Yeah, did it.
Yeah.
And he pulls him, and he doesn't have to do this at any, he doesn't have to because they're set on mutiny, but he does, and he does. Now you listen to me, James Hawkins. You got the makings of greatness in you, but you got to take the helm and chart your own course. Stick to it no matter the squalls. And when the time comes and you get the chance to really test the cut of your sails and show what you're made of, well, I hope I'm there. Catching some of the light coming off you that day.
Oh,
about the biggest thing ever committed to paper and screen.
It is unreal.
It's beautiful.
Like,
I'll quote it word for word to my kids, and they'll be like, "Geez, you're an artist."
I'm going to kidnap other people's kids and tell them this.
Yeah,
won't put me in jail because they'll be like, "Nah, you did good."
Yeah, put them on your spaceship into fucking the pirate ship in space.
Absolutely.
Tell them that, and then drop them back home.
Yeah, bring them home, obviously.
No, but it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's beyond beautiful.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, let me jump to our second question.
Yeah.
What was your most powerful part?
That bit there.
That bit there.
That bit right there.
Yeah.
It's. I'm glad you said it because I've got a story. So the animator, Glenn Keane.
Fuck me.
Who drew the Silver's You've Got the Makings of Greatness in You speech to Jim.
Glenn King.
Said he drew from real life inspiration while he was doing so. So in his words, I was 17 years old and I'd been fighting for a starting position on the football team as a halfback. And there's another player who was competing for the same position and he was a heck of a lot bigger and the head coach favorite guy. I worked really hard and I got the starting position on this game and I was really proud of it. The game started and I played three plays, got the ball once. Then the head coach took me out and put the other guy in for the rest of the game. I never played again and I was crushed. As a 17-year-old, that's your life. You want the chance to shine. I had it, but the coach took it away. Afterwards, in the parking lot, the assistant coach, Mickey Ryan, a great guy who spoke with his heart and always had a twinkle in his eye, put his hand on my shoulder and said, Glenn, you're going to do great things. You're going to get that starting position. That wasn't right what happened. And I could see that he really cared. There were tears in his eyes and I started to cry too. And he said, yeah, I live that scene with Jim and Silver on the boat when Silver encourages Jim after the big setback. And it was one of those things that you try to animate that you've lived through and hope you can even get close to it.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to cry.
Our pledge to you people out there who are scared like us, unlike any other chase we've done so far, I think you could put this after any movie and it would annihilate it.
That scene.
I think you'd go to bed and the only thing you'd think of is that scene and that sentence of, I hope I catch a bit of light coming off you then.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful sentiment for friendship.
Mm. That hearing that backstory too, fucking hell, it's even more beautiful.
It is powerful.
This movie just reinforces like the beauty of just encouraging someone.
Yes.
Because how many people are like, they don't have the confidence and it's right there. And if they just had someone like fucking John Silver.
Right.
Say to them, just give them that encouragement, that little push. Imagine the great things you can do. This movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The thing I love about
it's going to be my top four.
The thing I love about it is that it's not even that he wants it for himself, as in Long John Silver.
Yeah.
He just hopes he can get a bit of that light off of him, in that all he really wants is to see him be as great as he knows he can be.
And it's such a pure moment because there's nothing in it for John Silver there.
No, yes. It's the first time in the whole movie he's been genuinely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no benefit for him doing that. If anything, keep the kid down. He'll stay out of your way. You get your job done. But he builds him up because he can't help it. Because, well, frankly, he doesn't say this in the film with these words, but he fucking loves him.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's what that is.
Yeah.
And that's what the line is echoed again later.
Yeah.
The rattle of stars. The whole thing about him, it's really lovely because this moment here is so pivotal because I think it foreshadows the decision that John makes later in the film to forfeit the treasure to save
yes.
him.
Yes, yes.
You know he's going to do it. Even though he's pulled a gun on him, even though he's tried to kill him, even though he's done all these awful things, kidnapped people, threatened to kill. Like, even though he's been basically the pirate that he is, you know that there's something in there and he's never going to do that.
Right.
He's always, from that moment on, you know that he's always going to make the right call. And so when he is faced with treasure, as he jokes later, oh, it's just a lifelong obsession.
Yeah.
The only thing he's going to do is always save Jim Hawkins.
Yeah. I fucking love that theme in a movie where it's like choosing friendship over treasure.
Yep.
It's incredible.
You get it in this, you get it in bloody Last Crusade, Indiana Jones.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's there. Oh.
But it's like literally both. And this is what I mean when I say it's a dual protagonist kind of film.
It 100% is.
Yeah. Is that they both get what they want.
Yeah.
John gets his treasure. Jim gets his adventure.
Yeah.
And then they both refuse it to get what they need. For Jim, it's to go home to his family. Because it's that bit at the end of the boat. If you had have asked me this when we first met,
right,
I would have said yes.
but I don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
It's perfection.
I'm going to chart my own course.
I'm going to chart my own course. And even though he's with his family, he looks out the window and you know he's going to go off to space at some point.
Yeah.
He's going to do it his way.
Mm.
And John's like, yep, I'm going to take her this treasure. It's literally the thing he has been chasing his entire life. Whatever sacrifices he's had to make along the way.
Right, right.
And at the end of it, he's like, no, I'm going to choose this plucky space kid because that's what you need in your life.
That's what's really important. And it's, just to get into the craft of it for a second. So a character's arc where there's their need, the thing they need to learn. Basically, by the midpoint, they learn it, but they're not ready for it yet.
Yeah.
So when he's talking to him on the boat.
And he says that.
And he delivers the speech and he says, I better not get too soft. So he's not ready for it yet. But it sets up that when the time comes, we believe it. We know it because he knows it. In fact, he's already known it because then there comes the point, it's like the backslide, where they've learned the thing they need, but then they actually resist it. They backslide until finally they come full force and learn it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes, it is a powerhouse of a hit to the heart because it's been there the whole time. It is so perfectly delivered. And another thing on craft that I wanted to talk about is the stakes.
Yeah.
The whole time I was watching this movie, every beat of it, they are raising the stakes right up to the very last moment where it looks like they're getting away. They've got on the ship. The impossible has happened. They're getting off the planet that is exploding and they're not going to make it out in time. The robot tells them, Ben, awesome robot, by the way, tells them they're not going to make it out in time. So they've got to go for the portal. Except how are they going to get to the portal? It's on the inside of the planet. It needs to be out in the stars. So then Jim jumps on his friggin' makeshift surfboard, gets on the surfboard. Oh, great. He's going to do it. No, because the surfboard stops running. So he has to fucking drag it and make it explode so he can get back up. Like every beat of this film is constantly raising the stakes. If you ever want to know how to raise the stakes, watch Treasure Planet. If you ever want to know about heart and character development, watch Treasure Planet.
If you want to know about life and love and everything, watch Treasure Planet. It's just, there's a scene I love and it's where Jim asks him, he's missing his hand. He's like, what happened to you? And what does he say? He says,
chasing a dream.
Chasing a dream cost you a lot or something like that. And that's all he kind of says on it, but it just tells you everything you need to know about silver. It's perfect. It's full of little moments.
He will do whatever it takes to get the treasure. And then when he gets it, he turns his back on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love so many facets of it. So you've got all of that going on, but I just want to just walk back to just from a design point of view.
Yeah.
The design of the characters is so perfect for who they are.
Right.
Mr. Arrow. The stalwart, strong as, very straight, solid as a rock, is literally made of rock.
Yes.
Silver is this like fun, charming, fun sort of wobbly character, kind of like a big cuddly uncle.
Yeah.
But because he's a bit dangerous, he also has a cannon for an arm.
Right.
And then you've got the sort of real villain of the piece is a literal fucking spider.
Yeah.
Like looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Like all of the designs of the characters are just perfect. Like Ben being this weird robot that doesn't quite have the right proportions. Like, the character designs are flawless for literally the physical embodiments of what they are.
Yeah, yeah, great call.
It's literally just from tip to tail, faultless.
Something that happens at the tip that I love that pays off is when the mum says she just wishes that her boy would come home.
Yeah.
The same as he was with like a pet or something like
that. Right.
And at the end he comes home and he's got Morph with him.
Oh, Sean. Oh, I miss that. It's just
beautiful.
Because they even trick you because they pay that off immediately with the gag of him walking in with Billy Bones.
Yep. So you think, oh, that's not going to mean anything. And then boom, at the end.
Yeah. I mean, is that what happens when it takes you 20 years to make a movie?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. When you don't just do one or two drafts, when you work on it. And I think we talked about this. This feels like an animation thing particularly.
Mm.
Like Disney and Pixar, they normally don't make shit films.
No.
And it's the amount of work that goes into actually making them. So you're going to be damn sure they're going to get the script right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, especially 20 years of getting a script right.
Right. And when you're like, they're at this time where they were hand-drawing parts of it, they were early CGIing it, which I have to imagine was friggin' difficult with the tech at the time. Yeah. So, yeah, by the time you're doing that, we want to know what we're doing is the final product.
Yeah. I think at that point, so I don't know about other films. That feels like the most ambitious use of CGI.
Oh, yeah.
At the considering time. That early on, I think Beauty and the Beast had some,
mm-hmm.
but it was just like a scene. So it was it's the ballroom.
Right.
Aladdin has some, which is the carpet stuff, when they're flying through the clouds.
Am I going to go on a Disney binge? Yes, I am.
Probably are.
100%.
Yeah. I need it after this week.
Watch Treasure Planet, but if that's not there for you, Disney are such a good go-to to push the scares away because they're just their heart, they're made for basic storytelling sounds bad, but that's what it is. Like it's distilled yeah. joy.
But yeah. anything but, really.
Yeah.
It is basic in that they're hitting the marks they need to.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard to do.
Yeah.
And I think particularly, I'd be curious to look at all the different runtimes of Disney. I think when they hit 90, almost unstoppable. Yeah. If I was to see like a Disney or an animated film that's got a 2-hour runtime, that's when I go, I reckon that's probably a bit bloated.
I don't think I've ever seen, the only time I've ever seen probably a movie, an animated movie with a longer than 90-minute runtime is Into the Spider-Verse.
And that earned it.
And completely. That is also flawless from tip to tail.
Yeah. But yeah, seek out Tarzan, seek out Atlantis, seek out, I guess Hercules is in this similar period.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything from that era. I mean, anything Disney. When Disney are good, they're fucking unstoppable in the same way that Pixar are.
Yeah. But this era too, like, Sean, you haven't seen it or you can't remember if you have, but Lilo and Stitch would be very much up your alley because it's a similar thing. It's two outcasts meeting one another. But like, that's the thing. You can find a Disney story to fit the need that you have to alleviate your skin. Yeah. If you are seeking a Disney story that's like, I just want a nice little love story, there are plenty of them. If you want a story about family, there are plenty of them. If you want a story about adventure, there are plenty of them. If you want a story with fucking great songs, watch The Lion King. So, or Hercules.
I think the movies that will affect my heart the most will be like those family ones. Mm. But it's also, and this is a common sort of Disney thing, I think, is a character who has to go on a journey because they don't know what their place is.
Yeah.
Their place in the world. They have to find their place. And that's, that's Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
And they often find their place, but that often means they find their family along the way as well.
Yes.
Yeah. It's painful. I love...
I'm going to tear up.
I love that, like, my girlfriend, one of her favorite things in a movie is ragtag groups of people coming together for an occasion.
It's
particularly
great.
If in a movie, at about halfway through, a bunch of misfits are like celebrating a birthday or Christmas.
Yeah.
And you're just like, look, it's like that kind of shit is great. Just getting a bunch of people who are forced to be together, falling in love with one another, and you go, yes, it's what we want.
On top of that, I fucking love that. I love broken people who come together and have to help each other heal.
Yeah.
Become whole. And I think of something like the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
They're all a bunch of fucking rat bags. But together, they make each other better people.
Yeah.
Fucking beautiful.
That's great.
Found family.
Well, on the found family, how would we do in this situation?
So
I think the three of us need to take Jim's spot here. So collectively, we're Jim Hawkins.
Yeah.
We're on the boat. We're the cabin boys. Yeah. We're under Long John Silver.
So maybe we're a bit more like the Muppet Treasure Island version, in which Sean is Jim Hawkins, I am Gonzo, and Damo, you're Rizzo.
Fucking bring it on, son. Yes, please, and thank you.
I think I fall for the charms of John Silver.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, sure. Absolutely.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I jump in that boat with him at the end. We're gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I fall for the charms of Emma Thompson as a cat.
Or Kermit the Frog.
Oh, Jesus. Can we just also, very briefly, we've done a bit of Treasure Island this weekend. We've also watched The Muppet Treasure Island, which is, I love, very different to this, and is a 5-star movie for me for a different reason. It doesn't have the same heart necessarily as this, but it has a Muppet factor, which is just, you cannot sort of measure that.
It's hilarious.
That's a, you know, and the last 15 minutes of that movie, there is a fight sequence that goes so much harder than it has any fucking right to.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm not going to say anything more because you need to, if you haven't, you need to experience that for yourself.
Yeah.
Look, and I think for me in this situation, I'm just trying to corral you two into doing a podcast.
Yeah. Fuck, this sounds like a real life.
Hello.
Yeah. Is this your animating from real life?
Oh, this
are
is
you mate. Having your Glenn King? His name's not King, but we've renamed him.
He's a king.
He's a king.
That's
in our
what
hearts.
A beautiful story.
That's it's so
like a sad story. But also like a beautiful one.
Yeah.
He took that moment, he turned it into something that I will always remember as fucking staggeringly beautiful.
But how good to come to this, 20, 30 years later, you're working on a project that's passionate to you. You read a script that is like, holy shit, this is taking a moment from my life and put it on the screen.
So he wrote
it? No, he was the animator.
The animator.
So the script came to him.
I'm going
to
write him a letter.
But he's like, I get to work on that.
Yeah.
That means that he's phenomenal.
I'm writing him a letter.
This is the magic of the silver screen.
Who was I writing a letter to?
Ron Clements, the director.
The director. There's co-directors. So both of them. That's a double letter.
You're writing a letter to Long John Silver?
As if I haven't already. No, I'll just go and hug my dad.
Yeah, look, close enough.
His name's John.
Whoa. Can we go hug your dad?
I'll just hug him and go, love you, Silver. And he'd be like, what's that?
No, nothing, Dad. Just come here.
Ah, I love you.
All right. So how would we do? Like, what? I guess the situation here, do we have the wiles to both see Long John Silver for what he is in the moment, as well as like...
Sean's fucked.
Sean's well fucked.
Oh, yeah.
For once on this show, you're going to betray us for Long John.
Yeah. Oh, I have to. I'm going to cut your lines. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You guys are floating out into space.
You're going to Mr. Owens. Or at the very least, you're going to go run. When he's like, come on, let's take this treasure and leave. Yes. You'd be like, yeah.
Well, I'm Jim Hawkins. I've got the map. I'll be like, Silver, Dad, sorry. Here's the map. Cut all the lines. We're on the ship. Bam.
This is true. This movie only, our version only ends with Sean and Silver flying off into the distance.
Yeah, yeah. Damon and I floated off into space in the arms of Emma Thompson, Cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm flying off into the sunset arm in arm with Dad.
And Damo's just like, fuck, boys, I was just trying to do a podcast on a boat.
All right, well, I've got one last fact, and I think this pertains to you, Tom, with your love for Emma Thompson's character.
Yes.
So, at the end of this movie, Dr. Doppler, who I guess is what the role you're taking.
Yeah, I guess in a sense. I guess so, except I'm not a big fuckhead.
Right, but he gets together with Captain Amelia.
You're horny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, it's not today.
And they have...
Today I'm in love.
Well, they have a number of children.
They do.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you want to have children with her. You're in love with her.
I do have some questions, though, because
Just answer yes or no question.
It feels...
What did your heart say, mate?
I feel like Jake Tully in Avatar. We are shouldn't be so committed to Avatar. Something... There is an innate wrongness having cat babies.
You're the character.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah.
Okay, great. So, for this character, there was a few lines cut from this movie that they were worried was a bit too risque for a children's movie.
Ooh,
was that Dr. Doppler, the male alien, was the one to give birth to the children.
Oh.
Oh. I like that a lot.
You like that?
Yeah.
That's very funny.
It's cool.
Wait, why would they get... He's just a seahorse.
He's a seahorse. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? They're aliens. What the fuck does it matter?
Wait, why did they cut that?
They thought it was too risque.
Well, you know what it was? I've actually, when I was looking in the quotes before, I did see the cut line.
Right.
And he did say to her, Captain Amelia, I want you to fuck me so hard to have your babies.
Get me pregnant, baby. And that is all the Chaser Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been John.
And I've been Dr. Doppler.
If you want to tell us some Chasers to watch or would like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter at ScaredyBoys or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay calm, everyone.
You're all a bunch of fucking idiots. It's Treasure Planet.